Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses,
damn.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, November the 6th. Friday, November the 6th of 2015. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we've got another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we have a very important topic. We're talking about worth and value. We're talking about one of these underlying spiritual concepts that is very important when we're talking about eternal life. So the overall theme for, again, the next 15 days, we're talking about subjects that have to do with the quality of your life. So when we're looking at the essential secrets, if you want to use that word, to establishing quality and longevity of life, there is a certain misconception or there are certain things that actually hinders that quality or hinders the ability for one to have quality of life. Now, we're not talking about people outside of you. We're talking about yourself. It's easy to point the finger at someone else that's outside of you and say they are the reason or that they are the cause for my lack of quality of my life. I can't speak or address other people's issues. I can only talk about myself, and I can talk about my issues and my value. So your value doesn't decrease by someone else's inability to see your worth. Let me say that again. Your value doesn't increase or decrease by someone's ability to see or not to see. Your worth and your value is your worth and your value regardless of whether or not anyone else has the potential or the ability to ascertain that value and that worth. So you are valuable because God made you valuable. You have worth because God gave you worth. But your value and your worth increases or decreases based upon your perception, based upon how you let other people treat you. And so your worth and your value is very, very, very important because your worth, notice the emphasis on the words, your worth. And so your worth and your value is contingent upon your perception and your understanding. So nothing outside of you, unless you allow it to, should be able to affect your worth and your value. But we all know that it does. So we have to look at why or what is it. That is a psychological term called repetition compulsion. Now, this is a psychological term that simply means that there is an inherent subconscious tendency that impels us to repeat certain actions. Unfortunately, these actions are usually a destructive, traumatic event that took place during our childhood. And so during our adult life and our relationships, we are reenacting that traumatic event with our mate, and we are hoping that our mate gives us a different response that hurt us initially. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you really understand the depth and the breadth of what I've just stated. So in order for you to truly, truly understand what I'm saying, let me break it down for you just a little bit. Every person or every individual, we all come with baggage. We all have psychological things that happen to us. And so what if your strengths have no value to someone else? Because the way other people perceive us, it affects how we perceive ourselves. Now, it shouldn't, but it does. That's real talk. So either we can lie to ourselves or we can deal with the real issues. So the real issue is we're talking about eternal life. The reason that you can't have eternal life because you don't see that you're worth. You don't see that you have the value. You don't understand why God would give you eternal life. So you don't see no value and no worth in yourself. So you live your life the way someone who has no worth and no value. So your value does not decrease by someone's inability to see your worth. So if your strengths are not valuable to me, that does not mean they're not valuable. So people who spend or people spend their lives trying to prove themselves, the only way that you try to prove yourself to someone is if you don't value yourself. Let me say that again. The only way that you try to prove yourself is because you don't value yourself. Now, I spent my whole life trying to prove myself to other people. Why? I didn't value myself. I still don't value myself to the point where I should. I'm slowly getting there, but I'm not there yet. It's time to know your worth, and it's time to know your value. So if I was to put all of my energy into trying to make something work, if I was to put all of my time and my energy trying to help someone heal, if I were to put all of my time and energy trying to do something, but I abandon my own needs, my own truth, my own value, my own belief system in the process of helping others, why would I do that? Because the desire to be recognized or honored by something outside of myself has more worth and more value than I. That's the story of my life. So I've spent my entire life trying to save people who don't want to be saved, trying to help people who don't want to be helped, trying to love people who don't want to be loved, trying to do stuff, and they don't value it. Most of the people are suffering from the same issues. That's why I do these shows, because I see the same flaw in you that I see in myself. If your strengths are not valuable to somebody else, does that mean that they're not valuable to you? You have to stop, brothers. You have to stop, sisters. I have to stop. I can no longer pour all of my energy, and I can no longer put all of my time and my energy into trying to be something that I'm not. I can no longer try to save someone who doesn't want to be saved. I can no longer try to help or try to heal. I'm not God. I'm not Jesus Christ. What made me think that I had the power that, number one, that somebody wanted to be saved or wanted to be healed? Why did I think that? Because I was looking for that. Because doing that gives me value. See, if I can be Superman to you, if I can come in on a white horse and save you, if I can be your knight in shining armor, that gives me worth. That gives me value that I should already have. So whether I do a show and I get 15,000 people listening, whether I do a Blog Talk radio show and I got one listener versus 100,000 listeners, I should still do the show with the same vigor and the same energy as if I'm talking to one person or if I'm talking to a million people. Because my worth and the value of the show or my information doesn't come from the amount of people who tune in. But unfortunately for me, it does. So right now, I am in the process, and I'm praying to God that you are in that same process, because I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, I'm tired. Are you tired of being sick and tired? I'm tired. I'm tired of being sick and tired. So my worth now does not come from outside of me. I don't care what other people think. I don't care how many people tune in. I don't care how many people buy my books. I don't care how many Dear Kinnear reports I sell. Now, I would love to do all of those things, but my worth and my value, my core, the way I feel, is not dependent upon something outside of myself any longer. I am a single standing column of waveform energy, because I have this treasure hidden in me. God doesn't make junk. So now I got to deal with an issue. What is this issue? It's called repetition compulsion. Now, this is a dangerous thing, because from a psychological perspective, what this does is, in all relationships, everybody has a particular pattern. So why would anyone persist in pursuing a relationship that is doomed to fail? Why? Why would you get involved in anything that from the beginning you know is not going to work? There is a chronic pattern that many people, especially people like me, who have suffered from a tremendous childhood trauma. And so that is this repetitive pattern that is destructive. And unless you sit down and do the psychological work, the spiritual work, you will have this self-defeating, self-destructive behavior. So one part of the puzzle that we have to deal with is understanding the fear of rejection. That is why I do a lot of stuff that I do. I want to please everybody. So number one, I had to deal with my fear of rejection. I had to deal with the unconscious fear of the opposite sex, because I never saw a good relationship, so I don't know how to act inside of a relationship. And so not only do I suffer from the fear of rejection from people that I respect, and so I keep my ideas to myself because I don't want to be rejected. And then number two, I have the fear of the opposite sex because I don't know how to relate to them. I don't know how to relate. I've never seen a healthy marriage or healthy relationship. And the third thing is that there's this automatic defense mechanism because I want to defend because I don't have value, because I have rejection. Now, it has a lot of different psychological terms, but at the end of the day, we have to deal with what is called repetition compulsion. So repetition compulsion is a defense mechanism that automatically pops up. Now, this is how it works. This is how it works in my life. Yours is probably the same, maybe a little different. See, when you repeat a compulsion, it is an attempt to rewrite history. Let me say that again. So when you repeat a negative experience, because that experience is negative, you want to rewrite it. So when I was a little kid, I want to rewrite the experience I had with my mom. I want to rewrite it. I want a woman. I do this with every female I've ever been involved with. I can bring my wife on here right now. She'll tell you. I can bring my first wife. I can bring every female I've ever talked to. They'll tell you the same thing. I look for the woman in my life to do what my mother didn't. Because when Sister Shields was beating me with that metal pipe, I looked in my mom's eyes and she looked away. So every female I get in a relationship with, they don't know that. They don't know my history. They don't know what happened to me. But I automatically orchestrate. I do dumb stuff. I sabotage my relationship. The relationship fails, and I look to my mate to save me, to help me. And they turn and walk away. So I repeat it because, again, what I'm really doing is I'm looking for my mother to jump in and love me and show that she cared. And it wasn't until I understood and I went back and I had to deal with those hidden demons, because it sabotaged this marriage, my previous marriage, and every marriage that I've been in. So I had to do the work. My value and my worth does not decrease because my mom did not do what she was supposed to do, which is to protect me. So I cannot look for my wife to protect me because my mama didn't. I got to grow up. I got to put my big boy drawers on now. I'm not a kid anymore. So I cannot go back and rewrite that history. But I can start from today and write a better history, a better story. And so all of this stuff, and I don't care how you slice it up, is this an excuse for to justify my behavior? Absolutely not. You do bad stuff, you deserve it. I did bad stuff, I deserve everything that got coming to me. I take full responsibility for everything that I've ever done in my entire life. There's no excuse because I had a traumatic event in my childhood. Get over it. I understand. But I have to understand the abandonment disorder. And I got to understand how this still manifested in my life, and because it's affecting my current relationships. And it's affecting the quality of my eternal life. And it's affecting how I live life. And it's producing an intense anger and depression and despair. So I'm not going to allow myself or my past to dictate my present or my future. I refuse. The devil is a liar. So I've got to go in and I've got to find that demon and I've got to drag him out into the open and expose him. That's what I'm doing today. So I don't care, brothers and sisters, if you really sit down and if you, again, examine yourself. We do certain behavior over and over again, and we know it's wrong. You know it's wrong, but you still do it. Why? Everybody knows what, but very few people can tell you why. What is the social or psychological reason for this current situation and limitations that you have in your life? Are you unable or unwilling to provide love? Are you unable or willing to provide financial support? Are you unable or unwilling to provide structure? Are you unable or unwilling to accept love? Are you unable and unwilling to be a parent? Why, especially within the African-American community, why most black men are unwilling and unable to be a father? Now, we have to chase this thing back, man, because this is serious. We got a whole generation of children growing up that has never seen a marriage, a good, healthy marriage. What is the dynamics? What does it look like for a husband to love his wife and for a wife to love his husband? I haven't seen it. What does it look like for siblings? What does it look like for a father to love his son and to love his daughter? No parents are perfect. I understand that. That's not what I'm saying. This goes deeper than that. This is spiritual. So we got to look at that there is an automatic response that we got to change. We have to rewrite history, but we can't rewrite it by going back and projecting it. We have to deal with this abandonment depression or this abandonment disorder that many of us have. We've got to deal with this arrested development disorder that many of us have, and we've got to deal with this bipolar disorder that many of us have. It just simply means you operate on two different extremes. You're double-minded. And so the reason why, again, some traumatic event happened in your childhood. I don't know what it was, but you got to find it. You got to go back and find it. Now, I'm not talking about this psycho mumbo jumbo where you go back and you relive your childhood. Because remember, every time you remember, you take your body emotionally back to that same state. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about understanding that something happened in your life that could have been handled better. That's it. You ain't got to go back there. You ain't got to stay there. You ain't got to live there. You ain't got to go see no therapist and lay on nobody's sofa and regurgitate your past. Can you do that? Absolutely. Is it helpful? Sure. But again, I'm not interested in recreating. I realize that repetition compulsion is all about a recreation or a recreation of the relationship dynamics that didn't exist. Let me say that again. Repetition compulsion, which is what we're talking about. That's a psychological term, which means you're stuck. So what you are doing subconsciously is you are going on vacation. You ever know the word recreation? What's the definition of the word recreation? Now, let's talk about money. Every time it comes time for you to make money, you go on recreation. You go on recess. Why? Every time. Every time you get a job, you go on recess. Every time you're in a relationship with somebody and it starts getting serious, the bell rings and you go on recess. But it's subconscious. You don't know why you do it. Do you know the word recess means a temporary withdrawal of normal activity? So when you were in school and the bell ring and you go on recess, it's a voluntary stoppage of normal activity. That is what is happening. You're working, you know you need a job, you get that job, but you go on a voluntary stoppage of normal activity. You're in a relationship, the relationship was going good, you start lying, you start kidding, you start doing unethical behavior. Why? You're going on a voluntary stoppage of normal activity. Everybody can tell you that, but can they tell you why you're doing it? Everybody can tell you what, but how many people can tell you why? The reason why you're going on a recreation, what about the word recreation? We broke down the word recess, voluntary. Notice it's voluntary. Nobody put a gun to your head. Nobody put a gun to my head, told me to cheat on my wife. Nobody put a gun to my head and told me to do none of the stuff I did wrong. Why did I do it? Voluntary stoppage of normal activity. Why? I went on recess. I wanted to go on vacation. I wanted to go on recreation. The word recreation is the word recreation, actually. It means I want to create new. So I'm going back, and I want to redo a traumatic event with a good outcome. So I'm looking for my current wife to be my mama and to go back, and when something bad happens to me, I'm looking for her to come in and care for me because my mama didn't. So what about the financial part? You know, my daddy was there. He popped in and out here and there once in a while, never did a dime, never did nothing, never supported my mother. My mother raised 13 children without an education. All she could do was sing and sew, but she was damn good at it. And so now I'm a grown man, and since my daddy wasn't there, or I was looking for my daddy when everybody else about had new shoes on, and they said, hey, where you get from? When I remember like it was yesterday. Oh, man, Father, help me. It was parents' night. High school football. Texas high school football is big. It's like college football in other states. Everybody's parent was there. Where was my father? My high school coach had to walk me out on the field both years, my junior year and my senior year when I was on varsity. My dad didn't do jack. And so now, every man I'm looking, every time I meet a man, I want that man to be my financial support. Because my father didn't do it, so now when I meet a man, I'm looking for him to do it. So I'm recreating my traumatic events from a child, and I'm looking for men and women to be my mother and father because of the traumatic events that happened to me as a child. Are you doing the same thing? So my poor wife, man, she's confused. My wife wasn't there when my mom didn't do. So I'm looking for my wife to care for me in the way that my mom didn't. She can't do that. She wasn't there. And so I'm punishing her for something that she can't do. Is that fair? It's not fair. And I'm looking for every man that I see to come into my life and to financially rescue me because my father didn't do it. He wasn't financially relevant. He wasn't spiritually relevant. So when I meet an older man, still an older black man, what am I looking for? Spiritual, I'm looking for you to take me on here. Why do you think I got caught up in the cult so fast? The first black man that came and gave me attention, man, I was willing to die. I cannot believe how stupid I was. But I understand the psychosis. So let me talk about myself. I have to see value in myself when nobody else does. And it's going to come across as arrogant. Going forward, brothers and sisters, I'm going to start talking and teaching and saying what I really believe. I am not watering down my speech or my tone anymore because that is how I devalue myself. That is how I denature myself. That's basically how I mirror myself because I don't see worth and value in what I say, neither do you. Why in my sales? I should be selling Deer Canary Pulse. I should have a team of five processors right now, processing Deer Canary reports day and night. I should have a backlog of at least 500 people on waiting to order my Deer Canary report. Why ain't they there? Who's holding up the process of my wealth? Is it the white man? Man, the white man has been the only guy that's invested in me. No, it's me. So if I don't get over this childhood crap that happened and get over it quick, I can't inherit eternal life. You can't take that crap into the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within. So I let this stuff within. So I let my childhood trauma inside the kingdom. God is not going to share his glory with no man, past, present, or future. So I brought these past demons into the kingdom. I brought it inside of my body. I don't know if you guys really understand. Let me close with this. And we've been talking about this on our evening shows at 7. And hopefully you're a part of that. I don't know if we really understand that we are made in his image and his likeness. That means we're made in his shadow. Now, that means skion in the Greek. And the name Bethesda means in the shadow of God. So, again, the original image casts a shadow. That's what we are. But even though we're just a shadow, instead of us going on recess, instead of us taking a break, instead of us going on, recreation, instead of us going looking for refreshments, instead of us going and relaxing and enjoying a diversion, I have to stop trying to recreate events in my recurrent relationships with men and women, and hoping that they do what my mother and father did not do. So how do I do that? This is really, really, really important. The Bible says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Now, I need you to really think about this because modern psychology is great. Don't get me wrong. I can come on here, and I know how to psychobabble, mumbo-jumbo, and I can tell you the 12-step process by which to get over, abandonment disorder or detachment disorder or bipolar disorder. But the Word of God is live, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Has the ability to divide spirit, soul, joint, and marrow, and is discerned of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So let me make sure you understand. Your body, not mine. Your body is the temple. Let me read in the King James, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And then let me read it in the New Living Translation. Because if you can understand this, brothers and sisters, it's going to help you the way that it's helped me. Because I cannot expect my current relationships to repair my past. What happened in the past is in the past. But what I can do is I can get into the Word of God, and it says, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Verse 19. Again, I'm not talking about somebody read of a book. This is really important. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Where's the Holy Spirit at, brothers? Where's the Holy Spirit at, sisters? He's in you. Whom you have from God. Where did you get it from? You got it from God. And that you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So if I remember the scripture, notice it tells me that I cannot do immoral acts because this body don't belong to me. And so anytime I engage in any type of a immoral act, I am taking what is God's and I am using it for selfish gain and for selfish reasons. That's why it says run from sexual immorality. No other sin affects the body as this one does. Why? Sexual immorality is a sin against the own body, but it's not your body. And so if I can change my concept of the way that I view my body and realize that my body has been purchased with a price. And so therefore, the things that was done to me was done in ignorance. So I can forgive my mother. I can forgive my father. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for you. My mother did not know the value of me, neither did my father. I did not know the value of my wife, otherwise I would not have cheated on my wife. I did not know the value of myself, otherwise I would not have cheated on myself. Because before you can ever cheat on somebody else, you have to cheat on yourself. So once I cheated on myself, that made it easy for me to cheat on everyone else. It is this ideal that I can do whatever I want with my body because it is mine. It is not mine. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if I can understand that, then now my whole paradigm shift changes. Now my desire is to do what Jesus said, deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow him. So my brothers and my sisters, I am out of time. This topic is very important. I may do a part two tomorrow, or we'll talk about it during our 7 p.m. broadcast later on tonight to make sure that you understand this one thing. Because this is really, really, really important. When we talk about eternal life, we were talking about the quality of your life. You cannot repeat past events with the hope that they are going to change the outcome of the past. We have to live in the now. Know your worth. Know your value. Your value does not decrease or increase by someone else's ability or inability to see your worth. Know your own worth. That comes from knowing your own path. That comes from having a personal, private, productive relationship with the person and with the place and with the position. Your value, my brothers and sisters, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Never allow something outside of you to affect the inside of you. Your value and your worth is set and established by your Creator. That value and that worth is the Christos or the Christ in you. The Bible says you have the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. So your worth and your value is in you and it's from God. So if somebody else cannot see, if they don't respect the God in you, like the Bible says, shake the dust off your feet and keep stepping. My brothers and my sisters, I want to thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert you, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you might snap out the acting, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.